Bible, Luke chapter 14, and then verse number 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought a yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. That guy's henpecked, by the way. Verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, this is the bus ministry, verse 23, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for the bus ministry. We're going to be very specific again tonight, talk a little bit about the bus ministry and maybe some helps for our bus ministry, and helps, I hope, for people that tune in to, Lord, listen to the messages from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Lord, we need a revival in America of the bus ministry, a reviving of the bus ministry. We need churches, Lord, that are making excuses to set their excuses aside and start a bus ministry. We need some that have just have what I call a token bus ministry, get a wider vision and a larger vision, dear God. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would help us tonight and that we would be a genuine help, dear Lord, as we kind of share. Lord, I guess from my life and from the history of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, 50 years of having a bus ministry in rural America. And Lord, I pray that some of the things we've learned along the way, dear God, would be a help to others. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to cover some material tonight. I guess this is almost like a little mini bus ministry clinic, I guess, that we're going to have. I'm going to cover a lot of different things, a lot of different areas. I'm going to do it in a timely fashion. I won't wear you out tonight. A lot of the things I'm going to say, you may say, well, preacher, that really doesn't apply to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but I want to remind you that there's a lot of folks that tune in and listen to the sermons here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I want to spend some time in introduction encouraging people that do not have a bus ministry to start a bus ministry and how to start a bus ministry. And so I know that doesn't apply to us, but you know what? Every time we start a new route, in some ways it does apply to us. And I think as we go through all of this material, even those of you that are active in bus ministry will pick up some little things here and there, some reminders, some things that, hey, that's a good idea, or you know what, we used to do that, we need to start doing that again. One of the things that's helped me going through the history of the church is just going back and being reminded of some things that we did for a while here, or we tried here, or we did once here, and I think to myself, boy, that was a good idea. We need to do that again sometimes. So sometimes just going back over things helps all of us. But I'm so thankful for the bus ministry here. I'm thankful that we have a 50-year history of it. I'm thankful that it's thriving now, probably as much as it's ever thrived in the history of the church. And can we do more? Sure, we can do more. In every area, we can always do more. But I'm so thankful for what God has done. I really believe this. I think the devil, in about the last 20 years, just has sent out a bunch of lies to independent fundamental Baptist pastors, and some of it from pulpits and conferences, and some of it too many guys spending too much time on the internet, you know, and making excuses. And you'd be surprised how many people have just come to the conclusion that the bus ministry don't work anymore. We use that as a standing joke around here. I don't know if there's a two or three week period that I don't tell something amazing that happened through the bus ministry, and say, then I say, of course, you do understand the bus ministry don't work anymore, you know. And I do it to mock them. Shame on them. Shame on them for saying it. Shame on them for believing it. Shame on them for giving into it. because folks, the bus ministry is throughout the years, it produces miracles. And it's just one of many ministries that we have. And but I think if you'll be honest and look at the number of people that have been saved, the bus ministry has produced more salvations than any other ministry that we've had outside of, I always remind ourselves, outside of our worldwide missions. I think our worldwide missions giving and the opportunity to be a part of all of, I mean, just read the letters, folks. I mean, you know, but as far as a Jerusalem ministry right here in the church, man alive, how can you beat the bus ministry? And a rural church, I want to say this to those that might be listening, a rural church can have a successful bus ministry. Bus ministries are not just for urban churches, you know, that have a density of population or maybe some type of a low-income area. In rural America, you can have a successful bus ministry. I think that you ought to start bus ministries. We need to start bus ministries in rural America, grassroots America. I think it's the easiest and greatest way to obey Luke 14, verse 23. The Lord said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. I love that we have Operation Occupation. I love we have two maps hanging there. You know, any place I go in our Jerusalem, if somebody does not have transportation and needs a ride to church, we can get somebody to go by and pick them up because we have a bus ministry. I think when you start a bus ministry, it's going to bring excitement. It brings excitement to your church. It's going to bring salvation and baptisms. It's going to give your people an area of service in children's ministry that they don't have the opportunity, both on the buses and what that then produces once they bring the children in. You'll get more people serving the Lord if you have a bus ministry. You know why? You're going to need more people serving the Lord to handle it. By the way, it gives your church a reputation for pure religion. Pure religion. Folks, we do not, it's going to shock you, we do not make money because we have a bus ministry. I knew you'd be shocked. No, you know what? But you go to what James said, you know, and look at what pure religion is. You know, it's talking about the widows and the fatherless. And, you know, investing in people that have no way in the world of ever financially paying you back. So it's pure religion. Gives, by the way, your teenagers, I think it changes your teenagers in your church and gives them a heart for others, whether they have work on the bus ministry or whether they are there to build relationships with teens that are brought in. It gives them a great opportunity to reach out. And I believe this, it also helps you to saturate your area with the gospel. And so quickly, some reasons probably I just gave you of why we need more bus ministry started. The bus ministry is still the greatest soul winning ministry in America. And so I want to encourage folks that may be listening, pastors and church members, get a burden for this, you know, and start a bus ministry. All right, well, preacher, sounds easy. How do you start it? Well, I believe the bus ministry has been successful at Blessed Hope Baptist Church because it has to start from the pulpit. If you don't have a pastor that's excited about it, you're not going to have a people that's excited about it. I asked a local pastor here one time, you know, years ago, and you would know who it is, and so don't even try to guess, doesn't matter. But I asked him, why don't your church, let me just ask him, why don't you rent a bus, at least one bus? And he literally said to me out loud, I was so shocked. He said, well, him holding around, well, the honest truth is, I'm just not sure that our church really, I'm not sure I want those kind of people in our church. He said that out loud. I'm not talking about a Methodist or somebody that pastors the Christian church. I'm talking about an independent fundamental Baptist pastor said that to me. And I looked at him. I was so shocked that he would say that. Those kind of people. I hope there's nobody in the church that has that mentality here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I looked down at our young men here just a week or two ago and I said, hey, these are our kids. Our kids are. I said, hey, I don't want you to get in your head that somehow because your parents attend church here, you're here and the bus kids are. Shame on us. Shame. What a wicked, wicked thing. And to begin to look down our noses as somebody else is less than us or not as important to us. Well, I'll tell you what, they're just as important to Jesus. And but it's got to start with the pulpit. That man on there have a bus ministry because the pastor not excited about it. And thank God, I believe with all four of the pastors that has pastored this church, the one thing that I think they all had in common with all of our strengths and all of our faults is I think all of them have always been pro-bus ministry and have helped want to keep that thing going. So what do we need? Well, okay, let's break it down. First of all, you're going to need a bus. So, you know, you're going to have to buy a bus. It means you have to raise some money and buy a bus. And then let me say this. You need a bus mechanic. Now, let me just stop and say again, praise the Lord. You know, you go back there and you look on that back wall, and I've got that one picture of the very first Friendly Freddy bus. And I got a picture of Charles English on one end of the front of that bus with the tire off. Don Mary on the other end. I think they were looking at each other. Knowing those two, they were yelling at each other and throwing tools back and forth. I don't know what they were doing, but what were they doing? Working on a bus. You know why? Because when you buy a bus, you better have somebody who knows enough to do it. Brother Jack Gordon, for all these years, have been, you know, kind of ramrodded this and been on it. And folks, you know, again, these are people that don't want me to get up and say anything. But folks, I've come in here late on a Friday night or a Thursday night or a Tuesday night, and it's dark, and they're laying underneath the bus with a light. You know, it's just, you've got to have people that are willing to do that, because that is so important. It is so important, folks, that we maintain. But if you're going to start a bus ministry, you have to maintain that bus. You know, don't wait for the bus to break down. You know, preventive maintenance will take care of 98% of your problems and head off issues on the route later on. But folks, that takes dedication, times. It takes people to have that skill level. So you need a bus mechanic. You're going to need a bus captain. Somebody's going to have to take charge of it, run it. There's got to be somebody in charge of that that's willing to do it. And then you're going to need a bus driver. Again, you got a bus captain. You're going to need somebody to drive the bus. And then you're going to need bus workers, and at least one, because you're going to need some of the drivers got to focus on driving, the captains. Somebody's got to stay on the bus with the kids being picked up. Somebody's got to run and get the kids. And so you need at least one worker, and it's idea. Matter of fact, I got many, and we've never had an issue with this, but I've had many pastors tell me that they won't run a bus unless there's lady workers on the bus. I think that's a good thing to have, because there's something about a woman's touch on that bus and dealing with the young ladies that you need a lady there. You know, so we need lady workers. We need, I call the puddle jumpers, you know, the young men that's willing to, you know, run and get the kids and all of those things. So that's it. You know, you think about it. Okay, bus mechanic. You've got to have bus captain, bus driver, and bus workers. Now, folks, that's for one bus. You know, we've got four routes. We've got to duplicate that four different times. And thank God for those of you that are doing those important jobs. Let me just mention this, because it's something that needs again to be said. But, you know, once you get a bus in the state of Indiana, you have to paint the bus. There's some states, state of Illinois, you can't paint the bus. You got to leave it yellow. It's so mixed up from state to state. So I would say this, if you're going to get a bus and have a bus ministry, then paint the bus and make it look sharp. Make it look first class, you know, because that's your testimony. I tell somebody, when you start a bus ministry, really pray about and decide what color or how you want to paint that bus, because you want to make sure that all the buses are painted the same. That would be my recommendation, because, folks, it becomes, I hate to say it, but it's almost like brand specific, you know. I mean, you become known by that. I mean, when people are trying to figure out which Baptist church I am on this, you know, have you ever run into that, you know? Okay, which one? Because this is, you know, Baptist Church Row on 59 here. And all I got to say is, we're the ones just quarter mile from the stoplight with the red and white bus. Oh, the red and white buses. They know the red and white buses. And so I would make it first class, make it sharp, and have it done. And again, folks, thank God we've always had people here that's had a skill set to be able to do a lot of those things. That's an advantage, honestly, of rural America, is you tend to have men in your church that have hands-on skills. That's just kind of something a lot of times in urban areas they don't have as much. And in rural America, thank God we do have that. And so, again, big thank you to everybody who's been involved in that. There's nothing more fun than having a bus sanding party and then, you know, have 40 people show up and just, you know, attack a bus and just get it sanded and taped off and all of that. For your first bus route, pick an area that has the most promise. The most population, the least competition. You know, if you've got another church or two churches running a bus in one area and there's nobody running a bus in this area, you might want to choose the area where you got the least amount of competition. The most kids, you know, you have to kind of look at the different areas. I remember when we first started the bus ministry, Colmont at that time was like, I mean, there was a lot of young couples living in Colmont, and I couldn't believe the number of kids we pulled out of Colmont and Hymera. And sometimes, you know, that a community will age. Those kids will grow up, And then, you know, pretty soon it's more elderly than kids. And so you got to look at the different areas if you're thinking about it. You know, look for trailer parks, sometimes government housing, middle to lower class. Choose specific boundaries. Don't get too spread out, you know, because as a general rule, you know, the first kid you pick up, you want them to be at church an hour and a half later. Okay, that would be like the worst case scenario, hour and a half, okay? Now, we might stretch that a little bit, but you just have to think of some of the logistics. Just having a kid on a bus much longer than that, even with the bathroom situation, you know, you don't want to get spread out to where you're out there running a bus for, you know, two hours and 15 minutes and then trying to get him to come to church. So it's better to shrink an area, be more concentrated, and then start a different route than get to too spread out. And then when you start the bus route, I would then take all of your visitation ministries and saturate an area for 4 weeks before running the bus. And, you know, if we're starting a brand new bus route, then let's take all of our operation occupation people and all of our Sunday school people and anybody that visits, and let's for 4 weeks before we launch it, let's all go to that area and let's just search it out and hit it. If I was going to start a bus route, that's what I would do. I'd conduct prayer meetings throughout the area of your new bus route. I'd train the workers. You got to train workers to keep accurate records. Let me encourage our workers in this area. And this is something that I know it's hard, but boy, I think every bus needs a bus secretary. And there's got to be somebody that takes the time to make sure that you have the names, you have the address, you have a contact phone number, okay? Folks, listen, I know we probably need to shore this up, okay? If we have a kid here and let's say, you know, that one of them, you know, trips and falls and sprains their wrist or something like that, okay, do you have the mom's phone number? How do we get a hold of the mom to let her know what the situation is, okay? If you don't have that information, hey, bus workers, I know we're in the middle of the spring program, you got a lot going, but boy, let's really make sure as we go into summertime, we get past this, let's really sit down and say, okay, we need to have somebody that's willing to take the time to make sure we keep up on new visitors. How do you get the new visitor information? If you sign up a new kid, get the mom and dad, get their phone number, emergency contact. Hey, if you sent your kid, you would want, if something happened, to be getting a phone call right away. And so you think about that, bus captains. Train your captains how to run a program. And those things. I'm going to try to hit some of these and just keep moving. Now you got to prepare your church for the changes a bus ministry will bring. I think one of the things we've tried to do here is I call it respecting the 50% rule. Jim Townsley told me very transparently when he went out to Connecticut, you know, he started bus ministry and reached a lot of children, and he said his church grew real big, but the problem was, you know, he got to running 100 pretty quick, but when 75 of them are bus kids, you got issues, huh? Poor 25 people that are trying to corral 75. So as a general rule, I say a 50% rule. You may go back there and look, and I'm not sure what it is. If you looked at our bus attendance and you looked at our total attendance, you'd say, well, preacher, you know, last week, let's just say we had 159 on buses. I don't know what we had, and we had 240 total. Well, that's not 50%. Well, remember this. Folks, we count the workers, too, when we count our bus ministry attendance. So whatever the bus ministry attendance is, I promise you 40 of those would have been drive-in if we didn't have a bus ministry, 40, 45 of them. And so we run really close to the 50% rule on most Sundays. We're going to have special bus promotion Sundays where we might bump that up a little bit. But, you know, for the most part, that's a real good rule of thumb for a pastor to kind of watch. Prepare your Sunday school teachers because it's going to change the size of their class. You're going to need to start a children's church, okay? If you're going to have a bus ministry, if you don't have one, you say, preacher, we've already got all this stuff. I know, I want to help other people, not just us for a little while here, okay? And then I think it's very important to decide at what age you want them in the auditorium. We go from fifth grade on up, but you need to have specific rules about where those bus young people sit if they are in the auditorium. Help me with this, ushers. Help me with this, Sunday school teachers and bus captains. But we've got a rule that none of the bus young people are to sit more than halfway back in the auditorium. They need to be at least half or up here. Worst thing in the world is to get, you know, 8, 10, 12 bus teens sitting in the back by themselves. You know, that's not going to work. And so thank you for your help with that in making sure that we watch that and keep them up here. Schedule your children's church such that the children saved can be brought in the auditorium during the invitation. I think that's a good idea for especially someone starting a new bus ministry, because even some of the people that might be a little hesitant about bus ministry, boy, they start seeing at the end of the service, you know, here comes a worker in and little Susie got saved. The next couple weeks later, there's two brothers that got saved. And they begin to see that. Sometimes seeing it helps. Now, we don't do that, but we make sure that we have a card and we make sure that we announce on Sunday night, you know, if there was someone saved in children's church. And you'll notice, even the ones that walk the aisle in here, you'll notice that if they came on a bus, I always mention that they came on a bus and what bus route that they came on. There's reasons we do those little things, because I want to keep convincing our people. Not that I think that anybody in here is not pro-bus ministry, but if the devil ever sits on your shoulder, you know what? I want to be a reminder that, hey, folks, you know, look at this. This is working. People are getting saved, okay? And then I think a pastor needs to lead and really train your people to know how to welcome the bus kids and to reach out to them. And you know, and so things to consider that I think is unique to rural bus ministries. This might help even some of us be reminded. You know, folks, listen to me. Take care of problems that arise on your bus route, okay? If something happens on your bus route, don't ignore it. I've never seen a problem solved by ignoring it, okay? Bad idea. So I don't care if it's even a small incident happens on the bus. Really communicate to the parents. Make sure you're communicating to the parents, okay? And I don't need you to come to me over every little thing that happens on your route. But if it's something that could be a real potential problem, be sure to keep your pastor in the loop about it, okay? That way, if I'm in here on a Monday and I get a call from some parent, I'm not sitting there, you know, caught in the headlights, not even knowing that something happened. I can say, well, yes, man, Brother Jeff texted me last night and he told me about that situation. I believe he's reached out to you and what is your concerns? And it helps her to know that I'm up on it already. And it also, I don't mean this wrong, but it helps her to understand that I don't just have her version of whatever happened. I've talked to those that were actually there, and that really does help sometime. Okay, so take care of the problems. You know what? Small town people talk. Okay, and if you don't take care of problems, and then you know what they're going to do? You know, they're going to talk and they're going to complain and they're going to say, you know, let me tell you about that church and let me tell you what happened to my, you know, my nephew. And you know, so we want to do the best. I can't stop all of that. But if we ought to at least do what we need to do to make sure things are resolved, be on time to pick the kids up. And by the way, if you tell the parents that you're going to have them home by a certain time, be on time to make sure they're home. I know my vary for 5 minutes or whatever, but I mean, you know, if you've told them we'll have them home by 12:30 and you roll in at 1:15, you're going to have, I'm probably already having messages left. So give them an approximate pickup time. Make sure you give them an approximate drop off time and then make sure that that's as accurate as possible. And if you have to change that a little bit, tell them next week, hey, you know, I think I probably was need to bump that a little bit because I told you last week, by the time we run the route, I'm probably going to be closer. And just again, folks, communication, communication, communication. Parents just want to know. They just want to know, okay? So that's great. You know, we got to be careful in how we choose promotions. I'd say this with rural bus ministries. There's things that would work in inner city Chicago that probably we shouldn't try here, you know? There's things that would work here that they probably shouldn't try in inner city Chicago. And so you've got to kind of understand your area. Buses, listen, please, bus drivers, and I think we got great bus drivers, but folks, drive the buses carefully and drive the buses safely, okay? If we don't do this, then we're going to get a reputation and we will lose riders, okay? Don't do the, you know, California roll through stop sign thing. Well, I almost, just stop. Stop completely at a railroad sign. Follow the laws. Make sure your light blinkers are on. Make sure the doors are open. Make sure that you're checking both directions because somebody lives near that railroad track and somebody lives around the corner from that stop sign and they're looking out their window. Okay, when you load kids on the buses, bus drivers, and I drove public school bus for a long time, drove church bus for years, and you know, one of the things I was fanatical about, you know, the bus doesn't move till everybody's sitting down. Okay, period. Period. Okay? I'm the bus driver. Okay? Captain, I love you. But you know what? I'm the bus driver. And they need to be said, you know what? Because a mom's going to watch and they're going to get on the bus and they're going to be walking and the bus takes off and they haven't got their seat and that kid's going to grab a seat like this. And you say, well, that's not a big deal. Yeah, we lose riders over things like that. Besides that, you know what? Let's just be safe, okay? So go the extra mile on that, okay? Don't be porns, okay? I don't know if anybody does that or not. That's why we have puddle jumpers, because we're picking up in towns and, you know, we don't want to sit out there and beep the horn because we've got neighbors. And you know what? Let's just not disturb them. Well, they ought to be up in church. Yeah, I agree with you. But again, why are we doing something just to make somebody upset? You know, so let's, you know, use good sense on that. Talked about keep the children seated. Now, folks, gravel roads, amen. That's what we have in the rural America. And so, but I would encourage us to do the best we can to keep our buses clean. Wash your buses often. Gravel roads, dust them up. And by the way, again, our buses are our testimony. You know, be aware of the danger of dusty gravel roads. You know, you get somebody in front of you and they're kicking up dust and, you know, you're following in behind. You know, back off, stop if you have to. Be careful even with the dust that you're creating for the person you're meeting. It's, you know, some of this is just things that us country people do out of a courtesy. I do it with my truck. If I'm meeting somebody, I slow down. I get over a little bit. I don't want to choke them out. I don't want them in an accident because I'm roaring by them and they can't see anything. And so if I do that as a courtesy in my area, our church testimony, listen, Blessed Hope Baptist Church is not splattered on the side of my truck. It is on these buses, okay? And so again, I know, well, preacher, I want to get here on time, and I get all that, but folks, listen to me. I'd honestly rather you be a few minutes late and be courteous and safe and whatever, and if that means we have to bump the time you leave up a little bit, it's well worth it to do the right thing the right way, okay? And so if as much as possible, too, in rural America, we need to use our cell phones to call ahead on Sunday morning because of the distances we have to go to get some of these kids, you know. You might have to drive several miles, and if you go all the way there and they're not coming, you know, especially if they're ones that are kind of really hit-miss, if you can get a cell phone number where you could call, just remember that may not seem like a big deal, but if you go two country blocks back, and you do that in four buses, and you do that 52 weeks, and you figure out how much fuel, you know, just, again, common sense things. It's not a perfect science, I understand. But if you can do that, have somebody on the bus that just calls ahead to make sure, number one, they're up. And number two, hey, we'll be there in 10 minutes. Just one double check. You're going to be ready and good to go? Oh, they're sick. They're not going to be able to come. Okay. Well, now you just saved yourself time, and you saved us some fuel. So think about that if that works for you. If you need to as a driver, and I'd say this to folks, consider allowing your drivers to park their buses at their homes. And again, that could save fuel costs and just honestly make it more more convenient for them, especially if they live over towards where their bus route is. That saves if you have room to do that. I would say to people in rural America, and let me say it to you, do not compare your bus attendances to city churches. When I was given some illustrations the other day, by the way, I laid back there if you're interested. I came across it the other day, but I got a picture of my Chicago bus route, all of the kids in front of the bus there, or beside the bus. And matter of fact, Miss Rachel, your mama's in that picture. I think your dad was taking the picture, and Cheryl's in that, and a lot of the kids. If you want to take a look at what a bunch of inner city reprobates look like, go back there and take a look at them, you know. And but anyway, I wanted to lay that out there. But, you know, folks, there's differences, okay? It's apples and oranges. I think I said that the other night, you know. When you've got 1,500 people in all of Jasonville and 1,500 people living on three blocks, a little easier to fill a bus than it would be in rural America, okay? So do not expect your bus workers, I say this to some of you that come out of Bible college, do not expect your bus workers to visit the same number of hours on Saturday that you did when you were in Bible college, okay? These are laymen, not young people preparing for full-time service, and so, you know, we've got to understand that. I would say to all of us, be careful approaching children or teenagers without first talking to their parents, and, you know, just use common sense on this. I'm not saying you can't say a word to them, but you got to be really careful nowadays. You know, you see some kids playing in the yard, you might say hi to them and say, hey, is your mom and dad at home? Hey, I want to come talk to them about maybe you guys coming to church. Are they home? Why don't you want to come with me? And head right to the door. But I would not stand out there and get in a lengthy conversation with children or teenagers without first getting up there and meeting the parents. Because again, hey, I don't blame parents for getting upset about that. If I looked outside when my girls were little and some strange man was standing there, had them engaged in a conversation, I'd be going out there and I would not be in a mood that he would want me to be in. I don't care what he was doing. You know, so again, let's just kind of be careful and on that. And I would just say in rural America, this works everyone, but we use the term folksy. Be folksy with people, you know. Don't hurry through your visits. You know, I think one of the things, we're going to talk about this in just a minute. I'll give you a few things on reaching the entire family through the bus ministry. And I think that ought to be the goal, you know. I mean, every single family, we ought to have the goal to reach the entire family. Is it always going to happen? No, it's not always going to happen. You're always going to have kids that come and we don't get the parents. But boy, that ought to be the goal. But one of the ways you do that is you learn to be folksy with people. You know, don't hurry through your visits. Really get to know the parents. You ought to know their names. You ought to know where they work. You ought to know a little bit about them. You ought to know their hobbies. You ought to build a relationship with them. So get to know the parents and build a friendship with them. Now, what about reaching the entire family? How do we do that through the bus ministry? Well, make it a goal to reach the entire family of every one of your bus kids. And again, we won't always hit that goal, but boy, I'd sure work at it. Always visit with the parents when you visit your bus kids, okay? Even if they're regulars and I talk to them every week, if I catch them in the yard, hey, we're coming. Yes, we're coming. All right, you're coming, right? I'm still going to the door and talking to mom and dad because I want to build that relationship. I want to see them every week, not just the kids every week. Then ask the parents. Get to find out what's going on in their life. Ask them for prayer requests. Say, hey, you know, one of the things that me and my bus workers have committed to do is to pray for our bus riders every week. And one of the things we could do that would help, you could do to help me is there anything that we could pray for that's going on in your family? Anybody sick or anybody going through a tough time? Or is there anything that you wouldn't mind sharing that maybe we could pray specifically for? And man, people appreciate it when you pray for them. And that also gives you something to connect with them a couple weeks later. Hey, you asked me to pray for your grandma. How's she doing? You know, it gives you that personal connection. I think one of the things we did, you know, we won't do it immediately, but when AJ gets here, one of the things we want to do by the beginning of next year is have him restart our young adult class. And I think one of the suggestions I would give that's worked well in the past before is to marry, I call it marrying your young adult class to your bus ministry. Okay, if you got a young adult class and the goal of that young adult class is to reach young adults, well, who's putting these kids on the bus? Young adults are putting these kids on the bus. So if you have a teacher and some young adults that attend that class that then would go to the bus captains and say, hey, I'd like to get the addresses of all of your riders. And then you can go with the bus workers visiting. I think it's more effective to show up on a weeknight and knock on the door and say, hey, I'm from Blessed Oak Baptist Church. Yeah, Brother Jeff comes, gets the kids. Yeah, I know it. I got the address from you, but I'm not really here to see the kids. I'm really here to see you. And a nice presentation packet that gives information about our home builders class or whatever you call your young adult class, you know. And that's young adults reaching out to young adults. You already got a connection. Kids already come. And we saw great success when I started the young adult class in growing our young adult class by working and partnering with our bus ministry and helping them to reach the rest of the family. And so bus calling, folks, watch this, and soul winning are synonymous. I think the best way to build a bus route is through soul winning. And so don't just get into a bus ministry, bus visitation only. As you're talking to parents and you're talking to older siblings that aren't coming, you're talking to some friends that are there for a visit, always look for a soul-winning opportunity, even when you're visiting, okay? Now, build trust with your parents, and I already talked to you about some ways to do that by, you know, giving them information, communicating with them, being on time, keeping your word, whatever, you know, keep your word, okay? So build trust with them. Never, listen, criticize a child's parents to a child. And you know what? We've worked through the years, folks, listen to me. We've brought kids from homes where the mom and the dad, I mean, we've dealt with some doozies over the years, and we've dealt with some people that it's hard to find things to compliment. I'm just being honest with you. But you know what? You never criticize the parents. You don't do it under your breath. You don't do it, never. Because all the kid has to do is go home and say, well, you know what Brother Jeff said about you? Okay, and we're not there. Listen, folks, we're not there to destroy that relationship. We're there to strengthen that relationship. I think a lot of our time on the buses ought to be spent teaching the young people, first of all, to preach to them about and help them develop a burden to see their parents saved. And then teach them how they can help make that happen. And you know, the best way for them to make that happen is for those parents to see a genuine change in those kids' lives. I think bus captains, I would talk a lot on the bus, at least, you know, often, about obeying your parents, about, hey, what's your room look like? What's mom doing that she shouldn't be doing? And this may seem like little things, but if they all of a sudden start upping their game and all of a sudden they become better children, and the mom says, you made your bed. What in the world? I learned that at church, Mom. They said that would be a help for you at church. All of a sudden, that mom's going to be going, wow, okay. This ministry is helping our children and helping us as parents, okay? And so through preaching, teaching, and training, develop respect and obedience for their parents. You want to put that into the hearts of bus kids. Minister to the entire family by being there during life's trials and big moments. And I think our bus captains are so good at this. Thank you for being good at this. But, you know, when they have a death in the family, you know what? They need to see the bus captain walk into the funeral home for visitation, you know, bus workers showing up. And you don't think that make an impression on the kids? They're not going to forget that, but also on those parents. And so if there's, you know, so-and-so's one of mom's in the hospital, which hospital is she in? And, you know, stop by, visit in the hospital. I mean, you know, inner city Chicago, folks, I would drive up in the middle of the week and visit, do hospital visitation and go to funerals and attend weddings and go to high school graduations. And those kids didn't forget that they looked out there and their bus captain was there, you know, for those things. That made that makes impressions on them, okay? So you minister to the entire family by being there. You know, I say often, people will never forget the people that were there during the highs of their life and the lows of their life. So create bus promotions that encourage the children to bring their parents. Another way we can reach the whole family. This whole thing that we've got set up with the drawing, folks, I mean, you know what, I'm glad some kid's going to have a mini bike, but the honest truth is the major reason is to get adults here. You know, if you come, you're going to put your name in once. If you bring a kid 17 and under, you're going to get your name in 2 extra times. But if you bring someone 18 and older, you're going to get your name in 10 extra. You say, preacher, why that? Because I'm wanting to reach the adults, you know. I want mom and dad to come. And so, you know, think of types of promotions. Family picture day. Sometimes we'll get the parents to come. Grandparents day. You know, a bus parent appreciation day. You could just have that on your bus once a year and just make a big deal about it. Tell them 3 months ahead and make a save the date card. And we want you to come. And we're going to have a meal afterwards in the fellowship hall. And we just want to show once a year our appreciation. You know, you never know what's going to get them to come. You know, this children's parade. Honestly, we've had parents come almost every time just to watch their kid in a church parade. And, you know, all it is, they just walk down the aisle and get candy. But, you know, hey, you know, family Bible day. We've done that before where if a mom or a dad will come, we'll present. I still like the idea of every family having a family Bible. I do. I just like that idea. We haven't done that in a while. We probably need to do that again, you know. And so those things. Now, when it comes to baptisms, baptizing bus kids, of course, you know what, folks? We don't baptize any minor without parental permission. I mean, that's just a steadfast rule. You just don't do that. And then also, we want to make sure that we get the parents here for baptism. You know, that may be the one thing that gets a parent to church. And I'll tell them, listen, I want to postpone this till you have the weekend off. Or, you know, we don't want to do this. You don't want to miss. This is a big event in your child's life. And I know you would want to be there. You know, I say it like I don't say, surely you want to. No, I know you won't want to miss this. So what date would work for you so that you can be there to see them? And you see it very often here. when we have one of our bus kids, we'll have grandparents or an aunt or uncle or a mom or dad here. And, you know, even if they just come that once, they hear the gospel, you know. You never know what God's going to do, so we do that. I would occasionally just send a thank you note to each parent. And you might just put it on your calendar and do that maybe once a quarter, twice a year, you know, whatever works for you. And for them to get a personal note to them just from you, just saying, you know, I was praying for you this week and I just wanted to thank you for allowing your kids to ride the bus. That means so much to me. It means so much to our church. By the way, you're doing a great job with your kids. They are a blessing to us. You know, that makes, you know, five sentences. Okay. It doesn't have to be an epistle, you know, five sentences, heartfelt sentences, and just, you know, something like that. I think it would be something that might create performance events using bus kids. And again, we could sometimes do some things where we have them on the platform where they're singing or they're receiving an award. You know, we have this Bible club thing coming Wednesday night. Well, some of the bus kids, man, you know, I'd use that. You know, if I'm Brother Nathan, I'm calling the parents and saying, hey, your kid's going to receive some awards for this. I'd love for you to come and see that. Now, folks, let me also, preacher, I've tried all of these things. And listen, let me just say this. Never give up and never stop inviting. Okay? I don't care if they've said no to the last 15 things you've said to try to get them to come to church. They might come on the 16th try. And so, you know, just don't give up on them. I think if you do it with the right spirit, then that will work. We also, another suggestion, but when people are wanting help with food, you know, one of the things we used to get people in church was to say, you know, if you want help with food, we're glad to help. You need to come to one of the services to pick up the food basket, you know. I've had people that said, you know, claim to be starving and need help, but won't come to church to pick up a food basket. Well, I guess my thought is you're not very hungry, or, you know, because, well, my car's broke down. We'll send somebody by. You know, and I just smile, and we'll send somebody by to pick you up. But if you need to come, and that helps sometimes too. Remind the parents often that we are partnering with them to help their children turn out right. Team up with the parents. Team up with the parents. Now, let me say just a quick few things to teen helpers on the bus. Give you a few pieces of advice. Thank you again. Parents, I love that we have our teenagers on the bus. We need young people on the bus. I don't even know if I can overemphasize the importance of you being there, because you're their age. You're the age of a lot of the riders there. And even the children themselves, you know, kids will look up, little kids will look up to a teenager and sometimes build a relationship with a teen worker on the bus that they won't build the same way with the adult workers on the bus. And so you're very, very important. And so I think, and thank you for doing this, but we believe this. This is just a philosophy we've had for years and decades here, is that, man, when you hit seventh grade level, you know, I know you're still being taught and trained and you're growing in the Lord, but we want you serving the Lord. And we open up a lot of service opportunities in the church once somebody hits seventh grade. You know, they can sing in the choir when they hit seventh grade. Young ladies can help in the nursery. You know, young men and young ladies can start helping in primary church or maybe helping in the Bible clubs. And you know what? All of a sudden, instead of coming to VBS, you can be a helper on VBS and get injured in one of the skits or something like that, you know. And let me just say this. While you are helping, listen, be teachable and remember that you're in training. Remember, you're not running the bus route, all right? And be very careful in disciplining the young people, okay? Because one of the things about making you a worker is the fact that you also have got to be very, very, I know you get frustrated with the kids, and I know sometimes you just say, well, that kid just needs a good whacking, or I'm going to make him sit down. Listen, you keep your hands off the kids, okay? As a teen worker, if you have a problem that's escalating, and obviously they're not responding to you, then you just walk away from the situation and let the bus captain know about it and let him handle it, okay? Man, and by the way, I'm glad that you're on there to help, but man, you're on there to learn. And so pay attention. Watch the bus captains as they run the program, okay? Watch the lady workers as they lead songs. Learn from them how to get the kids excited and how to get them back settled down, how to use a quiet seat prize to get everybody completely quiet on the bus where you can hear a pin drop. You know, there's all kinds of little tricks of the trade that you learn just by running a bus route. You know, captains, your bus should not just be chaos, okay? If it is, then you need to correct that, okay? There needs to be somebody up there, and there's somebody up there. I understand why you're picking up, you know, there's. But once you get on the road, you need to have control of that bus. You need to have the kids sitting down. You need to have everybody, all of them participating together in the same things. You need to use that as a teaching opportunity, you know, Bible verses, memorization, fun songs. You know, you can run a certain amount of contests and do a few things, but you need to keep all the kids engaged, and you need to be making sure that you're the one that's in control of that bus, okay? Develop a worker's mentality, and I want to say this. You know, when you hit seventh grade, it's different being a bus worker than it was being a bus rider. Okay, well, preacher, but I was a bus worker before. Yeah, okay. Let's videotape what you were doing when you were in fourth grade on the bus, okay? I'm not saying that you can't get some of your kids that ride regularly to do a few little jobs, but they're pretty much kids. Now, when they hit seventh grade, you know, you've got to have a worker's mentality, which means you're partnering with those in authority, okay? And so you help them out. I would, if I'm a bus captain, once I say, okay, Brother Max is a time, he's a bus worker now, I'm calling Brother Max on the bus. I'm calling my lady workers miss something, even if they're in the teenagers. That helps the kids to begin to recognize them as workers, okay? And then I want to say again, maybe say this in closing. There's more things we could go through, but realize, I want to say this to the teens in closing. Realize the impact that you're having on the children and the other teenagers. You have an incredible opportunity. And I just feel like our bus teens are our teenagers that are working the bus ministry. You don't hear the preacher say this enough, but you're doing a really good job at this. I'm watching you young ladies reach out to these bus teens and you know, sitting with them in Sunday school and sitting with them in church and building relationships with them. And that is so powerful. That gives us the best chance of keeping them long term. And so thank you for doing it. Thank you for it. You may not feel like you're having a big impact or you're an important part of the process, but you are. And the relationship you're building with those children, those kids really start looking up to you. And, you know, we want to set, they've got plenty of the wrong kind of examples out there all week long. They need somebody on that bus. Now, let me just say this in closing and I'm done. But me talking about the bus ministry, and I know I've only spoke on it twice this month, but it may have stirred in your heart. Preacher, I really feel like God's kind of stirring in my heart and my family's heart. Maybe this is something God wants us to be a part of. Then, so what do? Come talk to me. Let me know. Reach out to me, okay? Because, you know, we do need more workers on the bus route. We need more men ready to substitute as drivers. I mean, I don't know a bus ministry in America that says, oh, we've got an overflow of workers. There's always help. I've mentioned that, you know, some of our people, well, Sister Carla did it for years. She rode buses for years, but also later on in life, she just visited on Saturdays to help a bus route, didn't ride on Sundays, but visited on Saturday. You might work at one aspect where, you know, you can visit, maybe you can't ride, but you could help a bus worker, captain. Or I can't visit, but I could ride. Or I could ride one way on Sunday, you know. You know, whatever you have available, if you'd like to, and God's put that in your heart, come see me about it. And we'll get you into a bus route where you can begin to learn. And, oh, it's just a great thing. I guess being pastor, if there's probably one thing that I've said it several times. I mean, Levi's heard me say it. Brother Chad's heard me say it. I don't know how many times sometimes through the last 20 years I've just said, I want to take a bus route. I maybe I'll just be a bus captain. I just need to be a bus captain. And, you know, it's because I love it. If I had the time, if it made sense, and it doesn't. There's been a few times here and there where we've had bus drivers go down. And in a pinch, especially when I was assistant pastor and her dad, you know, I'd need to jump in a bus seat. Oh, my goodness, I loved it. I loved it because, you know, it just got me back behind the wheel of the bus and back interacting with the kids. And the bus ministry, yes, you're a blessing. But I will tell you this, it's like most ministries. You're going to end up being blessed more than you can be a blessing. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you again for, I guess, just maybe a little bit of a practical teaching time. But I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we go forward here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Again, God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for providing us people that have a heart for it, for your divine protection. We're going to get to heaven one of these days, and we're going to learn ways that you intervened and protected our buses and our children that we are not even aware of. And Lord, we need you above anybody. We need you to help us as we try to do this. Thank you for just taking care of our kids, our workers, keeping the buses running. Lord, thank you for all those that through the years have worked and maintained the buses and painted the buses. I mean, my goodness, Lord, hours and hours and hours and all the visitation time, mercy. Again, thank you, Lord. And then getting up and the weather, all kinds of weather conditions through the years. And just thank you, dear God. Oh, we're going to get to heaven. And Lord, we're going to see that. I can't imagine 50 years. I couldn't even guess. We haven't kept the records. Probably should have. We haven't. Couldn't say, you know, God, you've got an accurate record in the Lamb's Book of Life. We don't have to worry about the records being kept. But Lord, when we get to heaven one of these days and these precious souls come find these bus workers and bus drivers and bus captains and just hug them and say, thank you. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the church and if it wasn't for what you did. Lord, we're going to say then it was worth it. So Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us as we continue to this ministry, Lord, on into the future. I know the devil hates it. I know he would do whatever he could possibly do to try to destroy the Blessed Hope Baptist Church bus ministry. Lord, I just pray again, dear God, that you'd bind him, that you'd, Lord, protect us, that you'd keep us in it for the right reasons, doing the right things the right way, we pray in Jesus' name.